Did not get a chance to talk with him earlier this week, so we thought we'd get Mike Grimm on with the Minnesota News Network, their sports director, here on this Wednesday. And Mike, a good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon, Aaron. Glad to catch up. And Stevie Wonder, nothing better.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, I want to talk about what's going on in Major League Baseball. It's kind of connected to the Twins, but not really, with pitchers putting substances on the baseball, and Major League Baseball is going to crack down on this starting next week. Obviously, the Minnesota Twins pitching staff is not using any foreign substances. I mean,
if they are and if they weren't, it could think how much worse it could get if indeed they are using it.
So. Oh, I assume they're not, but what are your thoughts on this? Because it seems like Major League Baseball knows, they know for a fact that this is being done, so now they're coming up with some kind of new way to deal with it and punish players.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts.
Well, I think it's almost you got to take a 30,000-foot view, because in sports in general, there's always ways that you're trying to be more efficient to improve your game. And I guess the question is, and I don't have the answer, so this is just a discussion. The question is, at what point has it gone too far? Like, I'm going to start with the Houston Astros, right, and what they did. So stealing signs in baseball has been a part of baseball since the game was basically invented, right? I mean, even at the youth levels, I coached teams and was around enough to where all of a sudden you're like, well, I know that guy just gave the steal sign. We have their signs or whatever. So is that illegal, or is that just good, smart, hey, we know their stuff? And so if that's not, then at what point has it gone too far? I think with the Astros situation, when you start incorporating telephoto lenses and zooming in on the catcher signals, and you're using video, and then you're using electrical devices to indicate what the pitch is, that's probably gone too far. That's more than just being in the dugout. And or even, forever, the guys have stood on second base and tried to signal the teammate what a pitch might be if you have their sign. And while that is frowned upon, and if you're caught, you might take a fastball in the rib cage the next time you're up, there's no suspensions. There's never been anything that would suggest that is a problem. So same thing here now with, so the Astros crossed the line and they were justly punished. So now the question is, what is crossing the line on this? Batters forever have used pine tar to get a better grip on the bat, and that's never been a problem. There were batters for a time that were using contact lenses that helped the ball look whiter. I don't know, is that something that is artificially enhancing somebody's ability, right? So yep. Is that bad? Is that good? I don't know the answer to it. Guys wear batting gloves. Is that part of the equipment, or is that a tool that is illegal? Obviously it's legal, but you get my point. So now this kind of started, I'm going to say, a little over a decade ago. And if I understand it correctly, that's when awareness for skin cancer really started. And, players are playing out in the sunshine all day, and so they start being told that they need to use sunscreen. And all of a sudden they found out that this one brand of sunscreen, when applied to the arms to, one, protect you, and certainly Major League Baseball can't tell you you can't wear sunscreen, for gosh sakes, but when combined with rosin, it's unbelievable what grip you get with the ball and the spin rate. You can throw better curveballs. You get 2 or 3 or 4 miles an hour extra on the fastball. And so all of a sudden every pitcher basically in the game was using, I think it was bullfrog sunscreen on their forearms and their neck. And then they go, pat the rosin bag, and all of a sudden they had their own little pasty mix there. Well, that wasn't ever deemed illegal. There was nothing really ever in the, rules about it. And in fact, Major League Baseball is encouraging players to wear sunscreen, right, for skin cancer prevention. Because if you're out in the sun 3 or 4 days a week, that can create problems. So, all of a sudden if this is sticky, what else can be sticky? And now you're starting to ask clubhouse guys from around the league, this Anaheim Angels guy's in trouble, to mix me up a batch of this using this spider tack, and he's sending this around and selling it to players, and now you're probably crossing the line. So that's a long answer to, we really just need to know where the line has to be drawn, right? And I think the Major League Baseball, after some embarrassment, has decided that this is the line that they're going to draw. And we'll see. And strikeouts are at an all-time high. One, I think the mentality of the game has changed. But two, I don't think there's any doubt that pitchers are better. They're all throwing. If you're not throwing 95, you're barely going to make it in the league. And certainly the sticky substance has helped with that. So baseball's trying to get that under control. I think it's right. I'm not outraged. I don't like using a sticky substance. And the other thing is, this isn't like they're applying it to the ball. So I'm defending a little, and I'm surprised as I'm answering this question that I am. But it's different than I've got a nail file and I'm carving up the baseball, or I'm scuffing it, or I'm doing whatever. I'm putting the substance on my hand, which obviously then becomes applied to the baseball. No, I think guys should get penalized for it. I think it's illegal. That said, I don't think it rises to the level of steroid use. I don't think it rises to the level of what the Houston Astros did by incorporating video. And we'll see where this takes us. Maybe the offenses in baseball. I mean, they're hitting a lot of home runs. Everybody is. But they're striking out a lot. So maybe this will help create some more exciting baseball, that there'll be more balls put in play.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network. And Mike, I agree with you 100%. My 13-year-old son, Isaac, he's all over this story when it comes to spin rate. We have enough numbers in baseball, but now we have spin rate to worry about. And he told me the day after, when the Twins hammered Aroldis Chapman for those four straight hits, had the walk-off home run, he goes, "Dad, I read a story. His spin rate was way down. He must have not used that substance that night." I mean, it is just crazy where the story is going.
Yeah, it's nuts. And baseball, it's weird because baseball, I think, as the numbers are maybe more hollowed than other sports. And it was the same way with steroids. I always thought it a bit bizarre that guys in baseball would get busted for steroids, and they should receive the harshest penalty under the law. And they would. But yet a football guy would get 4 games suspended for performance enhancing drugs, PEDs. That's what. But he got suspended 4 games for PEDs, and no one thought anything about it. You know, a Vikings guy got suspended four games for PEDs, and it was like, well, he'll be back for the Green Bay game. That's great. Or a Dallas Cowboy got suspended in the NFL for PEDs, and it's like, well, okay, gosh, what are we going to do for the next 4 games? We're going to have to figure out who's going to play linebacker, but it's good. He'll be back for the Giants game. Like, it was nothing. But, in baseball, if even a mediocre player gets caught, it's a 60-game ban, it became, huge, huge news, and it was an atrocity, and it was, an affront to the game. And so I just think the cultures are different. The records are different. The way the history is different. And I will say that it probably has lessened in baseball a little bit now. You don't have the same shock value. It seems like, maybe once a month, we hear of a guy that's been suspended for 60 days. I know, Polanco got it for the Twins a couple of years ago, and it wasn't the shocking news it was a little bit before, but it still isn't quite to the level of what it's like in the NFL when a guy gets it. It's like it's nothing. Oh, well, yeah, as a football player, he'll be back in 4 games, and let's hope that we don't lose too many of those 4.
Mike Grimm with us here on KATE, and I could talk about this topic all day, because I look at baseball, and when it comes to the batters, they have done so much, I think, to help the offensive game when it comes to batters in Major League Baseball. I mean, new stadiums are all built for batters. They're not built for pitchers whatsoever. I don't have that much of a problem, especially, and you made kind of a good argument saying Major League Baseball said wear sunscreen. So they're not bringing something different out. They're not Phil Negroing it and have that file in their back pocket. They're taking advantage of what Major League Baseball said was okay. They want to get rid of the shift at some point to help batters. I mean, I'm kind of okay with what the pitchers are doing, because I think a lot of things that baseball keeps implementing is helping out the batters, and some of the pitchers are probably going, "Where's our turn? Do we get some wiggle room to help us out a little bit?"
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the shift either. Just to pinpoint some of those things. That said, where at some point does the batter have a responsibility to say, "Okay, if they're going to play me that way, that I'm going to make an adjustment of my game." I mean, for the history of sports, success has been based on how you adjust to what the other team does. So how on earth, if you got four infielders playing from second base over, don't you adjust and say, all right, I'm a highly skilled baseball player with world-class hand-eye coordination. There's no way I can't hit the ball to left field a couple of times to beat the shift.
Yeah.
Why are we? I've never understood that. I'm not a big fan of the shift. That said, there's an easy way to have teams stop it, and that's by adjusting. Lay a bunt down, for God's sake,
yes.
A couple of times, you know, something. And I promise you, in a key spot, the deal is, I think teams, because of the way the numbers are going now, teams are willing to give up a bunt single, you know, to some big right left-handed, you know, batter that they want to play to pull and hope that he doesn't hit one over the fence, you know. But you know, that said, there's other. You're right. I mean, guys are allowed to basically go up there in body armor. There's no fear in that, you know, you get hit and there's nothing. You know, I got an elbow pad, I got a shin pad, I got a forearm pad, I got, you know, now they even the compression shirts that they wear under the their jerseys have rib padding in it now. And I'm not saying that isn't right. I think guys should be, look, there's enough injuries going around. We don't need a guy that accidentally gets hit by a pitch to, well, you know, break his elbow and be out for the season. So I'm fine with that. That said, then we can't really, to me, look, if you have some of the issues, I mean, you know it when you see it, but a guy getting thrown out intentionally is one thing. But, you know, to hear, you know, you think back to the days of Jack Morris and before that Bob Gibson, you know, they wanted to own the inside of the plate, and guys aren't scared if a pitcher owns the inside of the plate right now. And like you said, you know, like I said, they can wear batting gloves, they can use pine tar, they get a great grip on the bat. I do think the line probably gets crossed when players are all of a sudden paying, you know, some clubhouse guy to mix up some concoction that some place they're going to put on their hat or their body or their fingertips, the spider tag stuff. But, you know, if rosin's legal and sunscreen's legal, and that's what the Glasgow, the pitcher for the
Tampa Bay
Rays invented. Yeah, for Tampa Bay. He said, look, hey, you know, rosin's legal and bullfrog sunscreen's legal. And I was using those two things, and I was getting better spin rate. I was pitching, you know. And the other thing, even Morneau talked about this maybe a month ago on the broadcast, is he didn't seem that have that big of a problem. He's like, to me, if you're throwing 98 miles an hour, I don't want that guy to lose spin control, because now instead of being down the middle at 99 or on the edges, it could be in my ear hole at 99. And, you know, now that said, if you don't have the substances, maybe 99 becomes 94 and it's much more hittable and not won't hurt as much. But it's really I don't think it's quite as cut and dried as a lot of people like, oh, throw them out, they're cheaters and all that stuff. And yeah, I think the line is just where you want to draw it. I do think if all of a sudden the pitcher's paying a guy to mix him up something and ship it, you know, across the country, and that's something he's applying to his fingers, which goes on the ball, it's something. But, you know, if it's a sunscreen rosin mixture, both legal substances, and you happen to get a nice grip on the ball, I honestly, I think, you know, let them have at it. You know, go at it. You can hit it, hit it.
Absolutely. Mike Graham, Minnesota News Network. We got ABC News coming up in about 6 minutes. We had a few minutes left and want to turn our attention real quick to Minnesota Vikings. They're starting out some workouts. And here's the big news. Mike Zimmer has always been a defensive guy. Mike, I'm telling you, I don't know how they manipulate the salary cap, because we always talk about the Vikings, because of Kirk Cousins, the cap is so tight. We can't afford this guy or can't afford that guy because our quarterback's making all the money. Well, they're doing something right there in the front office, because we got Daniil Hunter back. We get Sheldon Richardson back. I mean, this defense, Patrick Peterson playing cornerback, whoever is running the books, nice job. A+, gold star, because the Vikings, especially on defense, they got something brewing.
Yeah, and they got some bargains, which helps. You know, Sheldon Richardson, I think, was $4 million. I mean, you know, that's a guy that had a 3-year, 30-some million-dollar contract that he was terminated from for the last year of that deal from Cleveland. So, you know, you feel. I mean, it's not like we got to hold a bake sale for poor Sheldon Richardson. He's, you know, he's probably made $40 million or more in the NFL, but he went from making, you know, I don't know, $11 or $13 million to $4 million. But the Vikings were smart, right? They waited it out. All right, let's go find somebody. Patrick Peterson. You know, I think he's $10 million on a 1-year deal. So you find you know, and now, you know, for guys, you know, and you know, and I know, for guys working in radio, $10 million would, you know, last us a lifetime.
Yes.
For a future Hall of Fame cornerback in the NFL, that's a relative bargain at $10 million a year for 1 year. So, so when I say that in terms of bargains, I don't want people to think, what's he talking about? I'm just saying in relative terms, the Vikings were wise. They waited it out. They did sign a couple of guys. You know, they signed Dalvin Tomlinson, the D lineman. He got some pretty good money. And again, I'm not saying $10 million is nothing to scoff at, but when you're talking about a perennial Pro Bowler, and again, he had dipped. Admittedly, he had dipped the last year or two of in his career at Arizona. But it sounds like he's got some new energy and a little new lease on life. And you see that a lot, where your veteran will go somewhere, get a new, you know, set of scenery, and all of a sudden, you know, the career re-blossoms, and that's the hope. So yeah, they were smart, you know, that in the process they had to let a guy like Kyle Rudolph go. I think Anthony Barr restructured. Obviously, this Daniil Hunter restructuring is beneficial to both. In the short term for Minnesota, it sounds like that helped them, you know, free up some space. But in the long term, Hunter can be a free agent a little earlier, and if he wants to, you know, go try to pursue the market and cash a big check, he'll be able to do that as well. Assuming he has a big year. So, yeah, I mean, they've always talked about the salary cap guy for the Vikings being a genius. And between that and then Rick Spielman waiting it and being patient and finding a few bargains over the course of free agency, I think it looks to me like they're going to field a pretty decent, if not more than decent, defensive football team now, especially in relative terms to a year ago when they couldn't stop anybody.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director, and of course the voice of Gopher football and men's basketball, joins us each week here on KATE. Mike, thank you so much for the time here midweek. We'll get back to Mondays coming up next week. I appreciate the insight. The baseball topic, we could talk about that probably for hours because we're baseball guys, me and you. We could talk about that for a long time. Thank you for the insight. Have a great rest of your week.
No doubt. We need some more Stevie Wonder, Aaron.
Okay, I can do that for you. Next hour, going out to Mike Grimm, more Stevie. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.